Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. We're brought to you every Sunday night by the California 1020. 10 miles, 20 bands coming up on February 15th. And Core Clothing, the best in women's activewear. Plus, you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes on Babbittville. And the Challenged Athletes Foundation, 21 years strong, raising over $55 million to keep people in the game of life through sport after an accident or any other mishap in their life. Our next guest is the CEO of one of the greatest events around, the ASICS LA Marathon. Tracy Russell joins us. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bob?
I am wonderful. And it's that time. You guys are, I think we're close to 3 weeks away from you guys opening up registration, 9 a.m. West Coast time on October 1st for the 30th edition of the ASICS LA Marathon. Pretty exciting times.
Yes, we are excited. Our team's really excited. In fact, we are just opened up our registration for those who want to train with us with the LA Roadrunners. So that registration is now just opened up this week. But the big day for anybody, general public, wanting to get into, as you said, the 30th edition, we will be opening up on October 1st, and we're super excited.
Now, take me back a little bit. Did you run through high school, college? Was running your sport?
Swimming was my sport.
Swimming was your sport. But you
I was submerged in water for many, many years.
And when did, so how far did you get in swimming? Were we talking Olympic trials caliber? Were we talking high school, college?
I started at the ripe age of six.
Wow.
And swam through high school. I was fortunate to compete with a fantastic team in Cleveland, Ohio, a private school called Hawkins, state champions all 4 years I was there. Went on and swam for the University of Virginia, and I guess it was right before I started college. I was at the 1988 Olympic trials in Austin.
How fun was that? Now, what was your stroke?
I was a breaststroker.
Ah, the toughest stroke there is.
Well, yeah, some argue. Others might say butterfly, but...
Well, butterfly is but in terms of the technique for the
correct
breaststroke.
Butterfly is a lot of strength.
It's a lot of strength, yes.
You know, finesse and technique for sure.
So out of college and after Olympic trials experience, obviously as a swimmer, it's not like, okay, I'm going to move into professional swimming and go make my living because there really isn't much in that. What was your thought when the Olympic trials were over in terms of fitness?
Well, for me, you know, I had 4 years, and you know, after I swam trials, swam in college, didn't do as well. I kind of peaked. My best years swimming were high school. But post-collegiate career and kind of finishing up school, I, you know, wasn't sure what I would do from, you know, a career perspective, and took a little time, a couple months after graduation, and then landed a fantastic opportunity in Richmond. So I know, you know, from a career perspective, I stayed in sports. From a personal kind of athletic perspective, it was, all right, what can I do just to kind of stay healthy after all those years of training twice a day, swimming 10,000 meters a day, you know, doing what swimmers do to be at the top of their game. So for me, it was just finding something else that I could, you know, maintain a pretty good level of fitness.
And so did you start running?
Not right away.
Aha.
Well, you know, I can't say not right away. In terms of running to train for an event, no. The first time I started running to train for an event was when I was encouraged to do a triathlon when I was turning 30.
Nice.
And so I knew I was probably going to be okay on the swim, got on a bike, brought a friend's bike, trained a little bit so I could learn how to change a tire, and then knew that the running was going to be my weakest link. So ran first ever running of any distance was in an Olympic distance triathlon. So I think the longest training run I did to prepare for that was about an 8-mile run, and realized how much fun and how much I enjoyed running.
And getting off the bike and running, that feeling is always so special. When you get off the bike and you go, when did my legs become concrete? And why are they so heavy?
I had a couple triathletes who were coaching me in my training and said, do a few of those brick workouts and get used to that feeling. So certainly you know, knew what to expect, but of course you don't know until that day when you're in the event what it's really going to feel like. But loved it. And interestingly enough, that was around the time when I realized I'd better run a marathon, because I'd gotten into the place where I was working in Richmond.
Yeah.
It was a sports commission called the Richmond Sports
Backers. Oh, absolutely. I worked with the Sports Backers when we brought Muddy Buddy there.
That's exactly right.
MESB,
that's right. We worked with you guys. And
yes.
certainly, you know, realized in order to understand, you know, what we were doing with the, at that time, it was called the SunTrust Richmond Marathon. We took it over in 1998. I'd gone to a few expos and got tired of people saying, well, what marathons have you run? And I thought, well, I'm a swimmer. So got myself entered in and ran the Portland, Oregon Marathon, yeah. And got to experience what that was like firsthand. Great event, great experience, very humbling. Being a former athlete, thought, oh, you know, I can do this. I can do it pretty well, and was, you know, quickly humbled that it definitely is a lot of training that goes into, you know, running your first marathon.
But it gave you an understanding of, one, you know, how hard it is to get to the starting line, and also, I'm sure when you finished it, it was pretty emotional.
Absolutely, and what was interesting is when we, in 1998, when I was in Richmond, watching athletes come across the finish line, and we'd taken over the Richmond Marathon, I was there, I've told this story before, I was there around 3 hours and 10 minutes, and I was watching people cross the finish line, and of course I hadn't done any running at that time, and I saw people dropping and getting sick, and I thought, these people are crazy, I would never do this. And then, you know, went off and did a few things for work, and, you know, was doing stuff for the event, came back an hour and a half later, 4.5 hour mark, and saw the jubilation and the sense of accomplishment and just the excitement and just sort of a different face of the finisher.
Yes.
Between that 3 hour finisher and the 4.5, and went, wow, okay, I see something here. Not that the people crossing at 3 hours weren't excited and jubilated, but it was a different intensity, you know, that we see at finish lines, whether people finish at 2.5 or 5 hours. There's just a you know, a sense of accomplishment, but it's maybe expressed differently. And that's when the seed was planted. I thought, okay, this is probably, you know, something I ought to go do. And it took me a couple of years, and then I finally signed up for that first marathon. And it was, Bob, it was a true sense of accomplishment to come across that finish line.
And was it one of those things that you came across finish line going, that was awesome, checking it off the list, or, okay, now I got to go faster, now I got to train more. Now
as an athlete, of course, I wanted to go faster.
Of course!
But, you know, never got the chance. I trained for another marathon a few years later, and you know, was at that event and unfortunately didn't finish, had a rough day. It was, yeah, a little more humid than we had been training for, and that was an unexpected, you know, weather change that day. Even the elites, they said, were wilting. So I felt a little bit better, but still was humbled by the distance of the marathon, and didn't get to finish that race. And then just really kind of stuck to the half marathon distance, which I love.
It's a great
and
distance.
You know, have been able to make that work with my schedule.
And when did you end up going down to Atlanta to get involved with the program down there?
So I had a great ride, 12 years in Richmond with the sports commission there, the sports backers, and wasn't looking to leave, but the opportunity opened up where Julia Emmons said, after 23 years, I think it's time for me to hang things up and enjoy retirement. And I knew Julia from a board that we sat on together, Running USA, and she'd said something, somebody else in the industry said, you ought to look at that opportunity in Atlanta. And I thought, you know, I'm not looking to leave. I love Richmond. I love the community. I love the team I'm working with. And lo and behold, I couldn't say no after I went through the interview process and landed there in January of 2007.
And you were there, really, you came to L.A. Last year was your first experience at L.A. Marathon, right? Or A6
yes,
L.A., yeah.
That's right. So it was 6.5 years in Atlanta,
yep.
Finished up and started here in L.A. in August of 2013.
What was the transition like? You know, I mean, Atlanta obviously is a big city, but L.A.'s a really big city. And you've got an event with, that was the 29th edition of the event. What was the toughest parts of an event that goes from, you know, Dodger Stadium all the way to Santa Monica?
Well, you know, I'm very lucky in that we have, you know, a lot of people who've done a lot of hard work to make that Stadium to the Sea course the successful and attractive, you know, race route that it is. And so didn't have to do anything in terms of making any logistical changes to the event.
Yep.
And the route itself. So we have, you know, incredibly marketable marathon course. And so it was great to be able to say, all right, what else can we do to tweak this event and to add a little polish so that we become this must-run global marathon? And, you know, we've got a great team in place who's really working out some fun enhancements and just some things that we can do so that we're, you know, in the same sentence as New York, Chicago, Boston, you know, that we become, you know, one of those premier marathons, not just in the U.S., but globally, and excited with where we're heading in terms of the trajectory we're currently on.
It was interesting. I was lucky enough to be covering running and triathlon cycling back when Dr. Burke and Marie Patrick started the original LA Marathon. And I think I told you this story. I was out there. They actually had day of race registration for the first event. And, you know, not many marathons have day of race registration because none of us really knew if many people were going to show up. And actually, there was a woman standing in line who had a box of shoes, with a box with a pair of brand new shoes under her arm. And I asked her, I said, have you run a marathon before? She goes, no, I've never run anything before. I'm like, well, what are you doing here? She says, well, this is my city's marathon. I should run our city's marathon. And it just sort of struck me that that your event, the A6 LA Marathon, is the city's marathon. And I think that at that time, it was considered more of a, and throughout the years, a sort of a local regional event. But over the last few years with the new course, it really has become more national, international, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that what we have is a huge opportunity to sell that destination. You know, we don't have to sell Los Angeles very hard. A lot of people come here as, you know, tourists, and certainly from a global perspective. But it's just letting people know that we have this course, this route that's going to take you by some pretty cool, iconic landmarks that are what people, when they think of Los Angeles, they think of, you know, what was formerly called the Grauman Chinese Theater. And you're going down Rodeo Drive, you're going past Disney Concert Hall, just a magnificent building. And so, you know, for us, it's the opportunity to say you might see all these landmarks a lot more quickly by running our marathon, because, you know, everybody knows that there's a little traffic problem here in Los Angeles that we contend with. And by doing it on foot, it's a great way to really see so many cool parts of Los Angeles.
So registration opens up on October 1st, and I know, so the people who are part of LA Roadrunners have already been, those folks could sign up, and charity runners as well?
Yes, the charity runners are able to start signing up October 1st as well.
October 1st as well. And what do you cut the event off at? Is it like around 25,000 runners?
We are, so last year we had a cap and we got to the 25,000 mark and cut it off. What we're looking to do is we think about our event long term is just have a very intentional strategic growth plan. And so we're looking at increasing, you know, the cap a little bit this year. We don't want to grow for the sake of growth, but we want to continue to deliver an excellent and exceptional experience to our participants. So this year we'll probably take it up a tick or two, but we again anticipate, as we did the past 2 years, in selling out several weeks before the event, if not earlier than that this year.
And the really exciting news, besides obviously the event itself, is 2016, we're talking the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials. How did that come about?
It's been, you know, again, another huge team effort on behalf of a lot of people here in Los Angeles. I was excited to hear when interviewing for the position here that they were interested in kind of throwing our hat into the ring. And so the bid process began last summer in 2013, submitted our written bid. I think it was my third day on the job, but had been working with our team from Atlanta just to get what we could to put our best foot forward in terms of the written bid. And then 6 weeks later, hosted a fantastic site visit with delegates from USA Track and Field, including Max Siegel. And just, it was great. Our city came out in support. Mayor Garcetti has been a big advocate of ours since the beginning of, you know, the bid being submitted. Other business leaders, civic leaders, it's really been fun to see. And it was great for me, being a new person in the city, to be able to meet some of these key influencers here in Los Angeles who got on board right away and said this would be a great event for us as a city to host. And so they rallied support, and we got a lot of people involved to help us secure the win that we were awarded back in January of this past year.
So last year, when you got to be at LA, after just being there for a little while and watching the first, you know, the first one with you as a CEO, what were your thoughts when you got a chance to really see what was going on out there?
You know, I think for us, we have an event that's really, you know, seen tremendous growth over the last several years, and it's the work of a lot of people who came well before I did to position this event to take it to the next level. And I think, you know, from what our team, you know, right away, the event was Sunday, Tuesday, we're doing a 2 to 3 hour meeting, talk about what worked, what didn't, and what we can make better. And so I think, you know, collectively, we all see, you know, those of us in the event business that have switched going from, you know, moving from that participant to managing events, see things through a different lens. Sure. And our team was great because we saw opportunities where mechanically we have a couple places we can tweak, add polish, and again, really just put on a great event and a big party for Los Angeles, a way for our city to come together once a year to really rally behind what the event means. And so I think for us it's, okay, you know, not just the mechanics of it, but what can we do from a branding and a promotional marketing perspective and getting out in front of things earlier than we had previously to just plant that seed and say, hey, you know, 30th edition, big year for us in 2015. We're going to do some pretty fun things to, you know, to celebrate what a lot of events do, whether it's running or other sports events. When you come upon an anniversary or an edition year, it's a great way to showcase your event, talk about your history, and bring people in who maybe hadn't run in the event in 10 or 15 years and bring them back and say, look who we are today.
When you go from the 30th event to the 2016 Olympic trials, you got two big years coming up.
We absolutely do. I think it's a fun time for us in LA and to really celebrate, you know, running not just here in the Southland, but also just what certainly in 2016, what running is going to be as we host the Olympic trials and just really showcasing on, you know, a very large stage, entertainment capital of the world here in Los Angeles, and to, you know, just put our athletes on that large stage to say, hey, this is the kickoff. We'll be the first sport that will be contesting the Olympic trials. So this will be where the USOC kind of launches its Road to Rio campaign.
Wow,
so
that's
there's
cool.
Really cool synergies that'll be in play in February of 2016, and we'll be able to help, you know, create that stage to showcase our best long distance runners here in the U.S.
And again, registration opens up on Wednesday, October 1st, 9 a.m. West Coast time. It's the 30th edition of the ASICS LA Marathon. LAMarathon.com is the website. Now, I saw something about a two-person charity relay, and always have to talk about one of my favorite programs, Students Run LA.
Absolutely. You know, I think for us, they just, you know, I'm excited to be part of their board. And Students Run LA just celebrated their 25th year.
That's so cool.
And 54,000 kids have been through the program over those 25 years. And they did a fantastic job with a wonderful gala up this past spring to really recognize and honor and celebrate those students, as well as, you know, how many volunteers have been around to help support those athletes in, you know, accomplishing coming across the finish line as, you know, high school students who may have chosen different paths if they hadn't gone, you know, the route of Students Run LA. And it really is, it's a fantastic program that we're so excited to partner with. And over our commitment in 25 years, we've invested, you know, more than $5.5 million in entry fees to allow those students to be able to participate as part of the ASICS LA Marathon.
Well, what's great about that event, about that, the Students Run LA program, is these are a lot of time kids who've really not had a lot of success in their lives. And they come out there, and you don't necessarily come think, okay, kid who's having learning issues or a kid who potentially could go down the wrong path, let's give them a pair of running shoes, and that's going to change their life. But it does. And that's the thing that sort of surprised me from the beginning when I first heard about Students Run LA. And the stories of those kids and what a lot of them have become mentors themselves, right?
Absolutely, and that was what was neat, you know, to celebrate 25 years. You got to see hear the stories and meet some of the students who have become adults and have gone back and become teachers themselves and are coaches of, you know, this next generation of Students Run LA kids. And, you know, I think it just really speaks volumes that every year it's between, you know, 3 to 3,500 participants. And of those that complete the ASICS LA Marathon, 98% go on to graduate from high school. I mean, that's incredible data
awesome.
Point that shows the true success around this program and what it's meant to so many people here in Southern California.
Hey, Tracy, thanks so much for taking time. I love your enthusiasm. I love what you have brought to the ASICS LA Marathon. It's always been a legendary event, and it just keeps getting better and better. And this year being the 30th event, and then the following year being Olympic trials, is just great, great things. And actually, I think that one of the things that really made the event special is the stadium to the sea. The course, if people have not run that course, you need to give it a try, because it's every landmark that you see before an NBA game, before when they talk about the Lakers or the Clippers, every one of those landmarks is showcased. You'll be running by them on March 15th, Sunday, March 15th. Tracy, thanks so much for all the time.
Great to be with you, Bob. Thank you so much. You're going to be joining us on the start line on March 15th?
Of course. I think we might have to, you know, the The running Elvi actually started at L.A. We might need to get the guys back together and come on out there. That'd be really
fun.
Bring
it back for the 30th edition.
Exactly. See how many of us can still walk. That would be good.
Awesome. So great to talk with you, Bob.
Tracy Russell has been our guest again. This is Babbittville Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in, where you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes. We're brought to you by California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, coming up on February 15th. Core Clothing, the best in women's activewear. And, of course, our Challenged Athletes Foundation celebrating 21 years and raising $55 million. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.